सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ Welcome back. We've come now to the final part of chapter 11, so the drama has hit a peak, and we conclude with the final verses, and we'll have, it's actually something interesting I'd like to share with you then afterwards. We'll see that in a moment. We'll begin, as always, with some chanting. We'll start with verse 47. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Maya Prasannena Tavarjunedam Maya Prasanneva Chaya Rupam Param Darshitam Atma Yogat Rupam Param Darshitam Atma Yogat Tejo Mayam Vishwamanantamadhyam Tejo Mayam Vishwamanantamadhyam Tanme Twaranyena Nadrishta Purvam Yanme Twaranyena Drish Naveda Yajnadhyayan Harnadan Har Naveda Yajnadhyayan Harnad Nachakriya Bhirnata Po Bhirugraihi Nachakriya Bhirnata Po Evam Rupa Shak Yaham Riloke, Evam Rupa Shakyaham, Drashtum Twaran Yena Kuru Pravira, Drashtum Twaran Yena Kuru Mate Vyata Macha, Macha Vimudha Bhavo, Mate Vyata Macha Vimudha. Drishtva rupam ghoram hi drengmamedam Drishtva rupam ghora hi drengmame Vyapeta bhih prita manah punastvam Vyapeta bhih prita manah punas Tadeva me rupam idam prapashya Tadeva me rupam Sanjaya vacha Sanjaya Ityarjunam vasudevastatoktva Ityarjunam vasudevast Swakam rupam darshayamasa bhuyaha Swakam rupam darshayamasa Ashwasayamasa cha bhitamenham Ashwasayamasa bhit Bhutvam punah saumya vapur mahatma Bhutvah punam Arjuna uvacha Drishtvedam manusham rupam Drishtvedam manusham Tava saumyam janardana, tava saumyam Idanim hasmisam vrittaha, idanim hasmisam Sacheta prakritam gataha Shri Bhagavan uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Sudurdharshamidam rupam, sudurdharshamidam Drishtavanasi hanmama, drishtavanasi han Devahapyasya rupasya, devahapyasya Nityam dharshana kanchinaha, drishtam dharshana Naham vedharna tapasa, naham vedharna Nadanena nachejaya, nadanena nache Shakya hevam vidho drashtum, shakya hevam vidho Drashtavanasi mamyata, drashtavanasi Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya, bhaktya tvananyaya Aham hevam vidho arjuna, aham hevam Jnatam drashtam chatatvena, jnatam drashtam chatat, praveshtam chaparantapa, praveshtam chama, mat karma krin mat paramo, mat karma krin mat, mat bhakta sangha varjitaha, mat bhakta sangha Nirvaira sarva bhuteshu, nirvaira sarva. Yasa mameti pandava, yasa mameti pandava. Which is the last verse of chapter 11, Vishwarupa Darshanam. All right, let's back up, pick up the thread. We'll just back up a couple of verses just to pick up the thread. I think we finished in our last class through verse 49, but to get the context, we'll just look at verse 47, where at the conclusion of this amazing chapter, Sri Krishna is saying, Maya prasannena, by being pleased with you, darshitam atma yogat, I have revealed this supreme form of mine with my power. This form which yat me tvat anyena nadrishtapurvam, this form which has never been seen by anyone except you. And notice that last line, never seen by anyone except you. In the next verse, the same idea comes. Drashtum tvat anyena. Na, you have to pick up the na from the top. Nadrashtum tvat anyena. This has never been seen by anyone but you. I'm just pointing this out because at the end of the chapter, we're going to come back to this. Never been seen by any but you. Somebody else has seen. We'll talk about that. And then how can we reconcile that? And then finally, Sri Krishna wants to calm Arjuna down. Arjuna has been, to use American English, Arjuna has been freaking out considerably because of the intensity of his experience. So Sri Krishna says, "Mate vyatha, don't be upset. Don't be freaked out." And finally, he says, "Me rupa midam prapashya tadeva. Please now see my form as it was before." So that's where we left off in our last class. Arjuna, being overwhelmed, had requested Sri Krishna, "Please go back to your prior form," and with this verse. Sri Krishna agrees, and at this point in the text, Sri Krishna is about to return to his prior form, and with that we'll pick up the thread where Sanjaya talks again. Sanjayo vacha, Sanjayo ityarjunam vasudevastatoktva, ityarjunam vasudevastatoktva. Svakam rupam darshayamasa bhuyaha, svakam rupam darshayamasa, ashvasayamasa jabhitam henam, ashvasayamasa jabhitam, bhutvam puna saumya vapur mahatma, iti, thus, Vasudeva, Sri Krishna, tata, in that manner, uktva, having said to Arjuna. So Sanjaya is narrating this particular verse, and of course Sanjaya is speaking to the blind king, Dhritarashtra. So explaining what he has seen to the blind king, Sanjaya says that Sri Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, Svakam rupam darshayamasa bhuyaha. Bhuyaha, again, darshayamasa, he revealed what? Rupam. Svakam rupam. Svakam, his own rupam, his own form. Here, referring to his prior form. Of course, we saw it very curiously in our last class. His prior form, according to Arjuna, had four arms. So, which we discussed at some length, and this is perhaps poetic license on the part of Vyasa, we don't know. But the prior form is a four-armed Lord Vishnu as Sri Krishna. So Swakam Rupam, his prior form, Darshaya Masa, he revealed to Arjuna, Bhuyaha, again. Ashwasaya Masa, Bhitam Enam. Enam Bhitam, this one who is frightened, the frightened one, meaning Arjuna. That frightened one, Arjuna, Ashwasaya Masa. Ashwasaya Masa. This is paraphrastic, perfect for our Sanskrit scholars in the audience. It's a past tense verb. It simply means he comforted. He comforted Enam Bhitam. He comforted that frightened one, Arjuna, Bhutva. Bhutva, having become Punaha, again, Saumya Vapuhu, having become once again, having assumed once again, that vapus. Vapus means body or form, but a form which is saumyam, pleasing, that pleasing form. Previously, his form was described as ugra rupam, which you know is a fearsome form. So that ugra rupam, that fearsome form, is contrasted here with saumya vapuhu, that pleasing form. Bhutva, having assumed punaha once again. Who has assumed that form once again? Mahatma, that great soul, that great one, Sri Krishna, has once again assumed his prior form for the sake of comforting Arjuna, who is frightened. Who says, Arjnuvacha, Arjnuvacha, Drishtvedam Manusham Rupam, Drishtvedam Manusham. Tava saumyam janardana, tava saumyam. Idanim hasmi samvrittaha, idanim hasmi samvrittaha. Sacheta prakritim gataha, sacheta prakritim. Notice the change of meter. So as soon as Sri Krishna resumed his prior form, we went back to the prior meter. Remember that the long meter came exactly when Sri Krishna took the Vishwarupa. When Sri Krishna appeared in his cosmic form, immediately the text went to the longer meter, the Trishtub Chandas, which with 11 syllables per line. And as soon as Sri Krishna resumed his prior form, the text immediately goes back to the normal mode, that Anushtub Chandas having eight syllables and quarter. Which makes sense, because as we described when we saw the beginning of the longer meter, it's very dramatic. Of course, here, if we're just chanting portions of the Bhagavad Gita, you don't quite get the drama. But if you were chanting the entire Bhagavad Gita, it's very dramatic. Whenever you change meters from the shorter meter to the longer meter, it's like Vyasa is saying, hey, wake up, pay attention, this is important stuff. That's kind of the sense you get when you get to the longer meter. And now here, returning to the shorter meter, the message is, okay, this very dramatic part is coming to an end. So we go back to the normal meter. So Arjuna, having seen now Sri Krishna in his normal form, and as we return now to the normal meter, Arjuna says, drishtva, having seen, idam manusham rupam, idam rupam, this form, manusham, this human form, tava of yours, Janardana, O Krishna, having seen this human form, which is saumyam, pleasing, having seen this pleasing human form of yours, O Janardana, O Krishna, idanim, now, asmi, I am, samvrittaha. In American English, when you say someone's got it together, it has kind of that same sense. Probably we translate it as composed. Asmi samvrittaha, I am composed. Which means previously Arjuna didn't have it together in American slang, which means he was, well, I don't know, composed. What is the opposite of composed? Discomposed? Not decomposed. Anyway, Arjuna recovers his composure. That's kind of better English. And he becomes sachetaha. Literally, he regains his mind, sachetaha. One who has regained his In English, we say he regained his wits. We have that kind of expression. He regained his wits. He came back to his senses. Prakritam gataha. And Arjuna's gataha returned to his prakritam, to his normal state, to his normal nature, literally. So Arjuna is simply Arjuna's back to normal. So to paraphrase this verse, Arjuna says, and this is the last verse Arjuna speaks in his chapter, he says, O Krishna, having seen this, your human form, your pleasing form, I'm back to normal, I'm composed, I have my wits about me now. And then Sri Krishna speaks to conclude the chapter. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Sudur Dharshamidam Rupam, Sudur Dharshamidam Drishtavanasi Yanmama, Drishtavanasi Deva, Deva Hapyasya Rupasya, Deva Hapyasya Rupasya Nitya darshana kangshinaha, nityam darshinaka. Idam rupam, this form, yanmama, yatmama, this form of mine. This form of mine, which drishtavan asi, which you have seen, drishtavan, you are the seer of this. This form of mine, which you have now seen, is sudurdarsham. Durdarsha, by the way, not durdarsha, as to see far is durdarsha. And that's why the TV channel has it means you get to see on your TV what is actually taking place. Literally, that's what it means. They went for the proper Sanskrit terminology. But that's dur darsha. This is dur darsha. Dur here means difficult. Dur darsha, difficult to see. This form of mine, which you saw, Arjuna, is dur darsha. It is difficult to see. Not anyone can see it. In fact, he's already said twice, as we saw before, twice he says, no one other than you has ever seen it, Arjuna. It is not durdarsha. Durdarsha is difficult to see. Su durdarsha. Now, sudarsha means easy to see. Sudarsha, easy to see. Durdarsha, difficult to see. Su durdarsha. Su here means really or extremely. Su durdarsha, extremely difficult to see. So that no one else has seen it except for you. Devaha api, even the gods, asya rupasya, for this form, this cosmic form of mine, even the gods are darshana kankshinaha. Even the gods in heaven are kankshinaha, longing. They're longing for the darshana. They're longing to see asya rupasya. They're longing for the sight of this form, nityam, continually. This form, which you have seen, Arjuna, is very difficult. Difficult in the sense of rare would maybe be a good translation also. Difficult to see means rarely seen. So rarely that no one other than you, Arjuna, has seen the form in exactly this way. Even the gods in heaven are all longing, continually they're longing to see this form. Naham vedarna tapasa. Naham vedarna tap nadanena na chejaya nadanena na chej shakya hevam vido drashtum shakya hevam vido drishtavanasi mam yatha drishtavanasi mam. Evam vidaha drashtum shakyaha, in the third line, to see the meaning of this. Evam vidaha, in this manner. Drashtum, to see in this manner. Shakyaha, evam vidaha drashtum, to be able to see in this manner. So Arjuna was able to see Lord Krishna, evam vidaha, in this manner. This manner means as that cosmic form. how is it that Arjuna was able to see in this form? You'll remember, of course, in the story that Arjuna was given the Divya Drishti. We'll come back to that a little bit later. So Arjuna received that Divya Drishti. He was able to see. But here Sri Krishna wants to make this point a little bit more clear about what doesn't allow you to see Lord Krishna in that form, in that Vishwarupa form. So he says, na aham, I, na shakyaha, we have to make the connection. I am not able to be seen. Aham na shakyaha evam vidaha drashtum. I am not able to be seen in this manner. How? Vedaihi. Through Vedic study. I'm not able to be seen through Vedaihi, through Vedic study. Na tapasa, nor through tapas, through austerities. Na danena, nor through charity, not through acts of charity, which means punya karmas in general. Nacha ijaya, nor through yajna, worship, performance of rituals, sacrifices, nor through the sacrifices. Now there's something significant here. You know, in all of the Puranas, how many stories are there of some sage performing the term that's often used is ghora tapas. They perform this intense austerity, and as a result of their years, in fact, in some cases they'll say such and such a sage, in fact, I think the sage Bhagirathi performed tapas for maybe 10,000 years. You're going to ask, Swamiji, how could he live 10,000 years? I have no idea. But that's what the story says, and it is a story, right? Puranas are not history books. Puranas are stories. Okay, so according to the story, King Bhagiratha performed intense austerities for 10,000 years. You've seen pictures of him. You know, he's got this, what is it? Ekapadasana, Ekapadadandasana, I forget what it's called. You got one leg up like this and your arm. So I'm going to fall right over. So he's doing this yoga asana, and just standing there for 10,000 years. Again, don't ask how could he do that. I have no idea. So this is tapas. So, and through this tapas, his prayers were answered by Ganga. His answer was prayers. How many times there are stories of some great rishi or a saint who performs intense austerity and is blessed by darshan? God appears in front of that rishi or saint in some way. Another story is that it's not only rishi, it's that Dhruva, the child. The child meditates on Lord Vishnu so intensely. And because of the intensity of his prayer, of his devotion, of his tapas, so Dhruva also stayed there who knows how long, and only as a result of the intensity of that tapas, he was blessed by Lord Vishnu appearing before him. So we've seen in so many stories in which as a result of Vedaihi, as a result of someone being so pious, immersed in Vedic study, immersed in tapas, these religious austerities, someone perhaps who lives a life of dana, of service to others, who helps others, through acts of charity, etc. Someone through ijaya, through various forms of worship. Someone who is so pious, so devoted, so dedicated, as a result of the intensity of their dedication, they have, to put more technical language to it, they have accumulated such a vast amount of punya, good karma, that as a result of this accumulated good karma, Bhagavan, God, appears to that saint in some particular form, this darshana, this vision of God. Notice Sri Krishna is saying here that this cosmic form of mine cannot be seen in those ways. In fact, what he's saying is that those forms are all inferior forms. Whatever Dhruva saw was an inferior form, evam vidhaha, to see me in this form, in this cosmic form, is so rare, is so difficult to achieve, that even no matter how much tapas you do, no matter how many rituals you do, no matter how devoted you are, no one will be able to see what Arjuna saw. So Arjuna had something special going for him, which we'll see in the next verse. Sri Krishna here wants to distinguish here then that this vision of Ishvara, this Vishvarupa, this cosmic form which Arjuna has beheld, is not the same as those other revelations, like the revelation of Lord Vishnu to Dhruva or any number of stories. It's utterly different. Those revelations could be achieved through your effort. That's important. To do this ghora tapas, intense austerity, takes effort. To study the Vedas requires effort. By the way, study of Veda implies the meditations prescribed by those Vedas. So to be engaged in Vedic study and contemplation takes much effort. Acts of charity take effort because you have to expend a lot of effort to earn the money before you give it away. That's the sense of it. There's effort involved. And certainly in any form of ritual worship, there's not only effort involved in the ritual, but again, effort in gathering together, in acquiring all the costly things that are being sacrificed in that fire. Tremendous effort is required. As a result of that tremendous effort, all of these saints and sages and even young Dhruva, they were all blessed. But Sri Krishna says that to see me in this form, in this cosmic form, effort is not enough. What is enough, we'll see in the next verse. Let's finish this verse. So effort is not enough, but yet to see me, evam vidaha na shakyaha drashtum, all that effort is not enough to see me, yatha, in this manner, evam vidaha, as you have seen, drishtavan asi, as you have seen, drishtavan asi, as you have seen, Arjuna. No amount of effort will allow anyone to see me in the manner that you have seen me, Arjuna. Then, if effort alone is not enough, what is it that Arjuna had that was special that allowed him to see this Vishvarupa? Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya, bhaktya tvananyaya aham evam vidhorjuna, aham evam vidhor jnatum drashtum chatatvena, jnatum drashtum chatat praveshtum chaparantapa, praveshtum chaparantapa. Aham, in the second line, Arjuna, Arjuna, aham evam vidaha, I, in this manner, shakyaha, in the first line, it is possible to see me. These words are all scattered around. You take drashtum from the third line, shakyaha from the first line. The words get scattered around in verses. And just to remind you, remember these verses have to conform to a certain pattern of long and short syllables. For the sake of making them conform to that pattern, very commonly word order gets distorted. So you have to be ready to like pick up a word from here and a word from there and to connect them. The grammar and syntax of Sanskrit supports it, so there's no particular difficulty. It just means you have to be ready for that. So Sri Krishna says, O Arjuna, it is possible. Drashakyaha, it is possible. Aham drashtum, for I to be seen. Evam vidaha, in this manner, it is possible for me to be seen in this manner. How? Bhaktya, through bhakti. Now wait a minute, Dhruva had bhakti, Bhagiratha had shakti, all those rishis and saints, they all had bhakti. They weren't lacking bhakti. But there's a really important adjective here. Bhaktya tu ananyaya. And we've seen that expression before. Ananya bhakti. We talked about that back in, I think, chapter 9. In chapter 9, we talked about ananya bhakti. We're also going to talk about it again in chapter 12, the next chapter. There are different kinds of bhakti. Someone who can come and stand in front of an altar and fall on the floor and cry and all of that, that's bhakti. That's not ananya bhakti. What is the difference? In fact, you remember our joke, that fellow falls on the floor and cries and then gets up and walks out the door of the temple and behaves like a rakshasa. I mean, it happens all the time. So the point is, these intense expressions of emotion is not the highest form of bhakti. It is devotion. It is bhakti. Even though the person behaves like a rakshasa outside, when they're in front of the altar, you can't deny the fact that they are filled with devotion for God. Both are true. In the altar, devotee. Out on the road, rakshasa. Watch out. Plenty of people are like that. The point is that the bhakti, the highest form of bhakti, cannot merely be an intense emotion. By the way, just a little sneak preview. The next chapter, chapter 12, which is called Bhakti Yoga, we're going to get a really good definition of what is bhakti. And it's going to be, I think, a four-level definition, four kinds of bhakti, four expressions of bhakti. So we'll talk about that in quite some detail when we get to the next chapter. So for now, let's recognize that Sri Krishna is saying that I am able to be seen in my cosmic form, bhaktya, with bhakti, but not ordinary bhakti, not this emotional variety of bhakti, ananyaya bhakti. Yeah, with ananya bhakti. Ananya, remember, means non-separate. Ananya bhakti is a devotion in which the devotee appreciates one's non-separation from God. Ananya bhakti standing in front of the altar, you're standing down on there. Sri Krishna is 2-3 steps up there. He's away from you. There's a duality there. There's a distance there. Worship from a distance. It still is worship. It still is bhakti, devotion, but it's considered a lower level of bhakti. Here, Sri Krishna speaks of the highest level of bhakti. A level of bhakti in which the worshiper appreciates that the God they're worshiping is not at a distance, is not separate. That God is ananya, non-separate from you. Non-separate from you means what? God is here. Not merely up on the altar. God is, we could say, enthroned in the altar of the heart, if we want to use such language. God is present in you as you. This is a very profound Vedantic teaching. We won't focus on that right now. This is ananya bhakti. And notice, to have this ananya bhakti, it's not a mere emotional relationship with God. To discover your non-separation from Ishvara requires knowledge, requires spiritual knowledge. A great deal of understanding of who and what is that Ishvara. What is the relationship of the world to that Ishvara? What is your relationship to that Ishvara? This is all spiritual knowledge. This is jnanam. In particular, it's a spiritual wisdom that was taught to Arjuna in chapters 7 and 9, right? So going way back, so in chapter 7 and again in chapter 9, these very, very profound Vedantic teachings about who and what is Ishvara were imparted to Arjuna. Arjuna gained that understanding, that wisdom about who is God. So therefore, Arjuna's devotion, Arjuna's bhakti, is not blind faith. It is not andhavishwasa. The person standing in front of the altar, perhaps, had andhavishwasa very intensely. But andhavishwasa means blind faith. But Arjuna's bhakti, Arjuna's devotion, was not based on blind faith. In fact, it wasn't based on faith at all. Arjuna's devotion is based on knowledge, knowing who is Ishvara, knowing that Ishvara is not merely up on the altar, knowing that Ishvara is within, knowing finally that all this is Ishvara, knowing that there is nothing but Ishvara. As my guru likes to say, it's not that there's one God, but rather there is only God. This is the spiritual wisdom. This is the knowledge that was given to Arjuna in chapter 7 and 9, the teachings that we studied in great length here. And based on that knowledge, Arjuna, now we're finally ready to answer the question. Why was Arjuna in a position to receive this incredible vision, this Vishwarupa? Did Arjuna do so much Vedic study and meditation? No. Did Arjuna do so much tapas? No. Did Arjuna do all these acts of charity? No. Did Arjuna do all these complicated rituals? No. Which means Arjuna would never receive that vision of God like Dhruva and all these saints and sages received. Yet Arjuna received this Vishwarupa based on what? Bhaktya tu ananyaya. With his not just intense bhakti, with his devotion coupled with knowledge. It takes both. Devotion can be this transient emotion. Like we said, the person who cries at the altar and then goes out and behaves as a rakshasa. Why would they do that? Because they see God on the altar, they go outside, they don't see God anymore. This is the opposite of ananya bhakti. On the other hand, someone who sees God on the altar, someone who sees God out on the road, someone who sees God in the form of a friend, one who sees God in the form of an enemy. One who sees God when he looks in the mirror. This is ananya bhakti. One who sees God, and this is a typical Indian setup, one who sees God in the mandir, and one who sees God in the pile of filth and rubbish, which is right next to the mandir. How many times does that happen? You see that. If you can see God equally, in a pile of trash and on a beautiful altar, that is ananya bhakti. And that is extraordinary. Because of that extraordinary bhakti, being able to see God equally in all things, in all situations, based on that extraordinary bhakti, Arjuna had that cosmic vision of the Lord. And that understanding is what Sri Krishna was teaching so extensively in chapters 7 and 9. That's why. Notice chapters 7 and 9 come before 11, right? Not accidentally. Until Arjuna had that understanding through chapters 7 and 9, he would not have been ready to have this Vishwarupa Darshana that he has in chapter 11. So, Sri Krishna says, Bhaktya tu ananyaya. Only through this extraordinary ananya bhakti where you really get it, that what is a manifestation of that divinity we call Ishvara. Everything is divine. There is nothing but that divinity. Everyone, everything, whether you consider it desirable or not, the pile of filth and the beautiful deity on the altar, it is all identically and equally a manifestation of Ishvara. So bhaktya tu ananyaya, with this extraordinary bhakti, this ananya bhakti, this devotion based on the recognition of the non-separateness of everything from Ishvara. Aham evam vidaha shakyaha drashtum. I am able, I can be seen. Drashtum shakyaha. I can be seen evam vidaha in this way. Jnatum cha. And I can be known in this way. We just talked about knowledge. Sri Krishna makes it very plain here. Jnatum cha shakyaha. I can be known in this way. Notice it's not a matter of mere belief. This, by the way, just to make sure that we appreciate, this is one of the very profound observations of the ancient rishis, and that is, faith or belief is not enough. The whole Bhagavad Gita is not merely about believing in some god, whether you call that god Krishna or Vishnu or whoever you call that god. It's about knowing, discovering who is that god. So, drashtum cha shakyaha. I am able to be known in that way, tatvena, as I really am, Sri Krishna says. I'm able to be known, drashtum tatvena, able to be known in truth, in reality, as I really am. Praveshtam cha, and I am able to be entered into. Praveshtam shakyaha. Notice three things that you're able to see me, drashtum shakyaha, able to know me, jnatum shakyaha, and able to enter into me, praveshtam shakyaha. To enter into me, according to Sri Shankaracharya's commentary, he says that means to gain moksha, to become enlightened, to gain liberation. To enter into God means what? To become non-separate, to recognize one's non-separateness from that Ishvara. Adi Shankaracharya calls that moksha. So these three, drashtum shakyaha, to be able to see. To see that Vishvarupa, that cosmic form, Jnatum Shakya, to be able to know who that God is, and Drashtum Shakya, to be able to enter into that reality, to discover your non-separateness of that reality, all of that is a result of what? Ananya Bhakti. Not mere devotion, but a devotion which is informed by this wisdom, by this spiritual knowledge. We could say, how about faith filled with knowledge? Not faith empty of knowledge. Faith empty of knowledge is andavishwasa, blind faith. But the opposite then would be faith filled with knowledge. This is ananya bhakti. And because of that, Arjuna was able to have this experience. Sri Krishna addresses Arjuna as Parantapa, O Mighty One, in this way. Because you have this ananya bhakti, therefore, Arjuna, you were able to see me. You are actually, he doesn't say you. He says one is able to. Because chances are Arjuna is not enlightened at this point. In fact, after we find out later in the Mahabharata that Arjuna isn't enlightened, but that's a story for another day. But Sri Krishna says, one is able to see me in this way, one is able to know me in this way, one is able to enter into me, to gain moksha in this way, if you have ananya bhakti. Arjuna has ananya bhakti and therefore was able to see in this way, probably to know in this way, probably not to enter into, that is, probably not gaining enlightenment. Anyway, that's kind of a technical interpretation here. We need not get bogged down in that. Now, there's just one verse left, but before we see the last verse, I'd like to take up this little issue we saw before. In fact, there was an interesting email from one of our students who commented that Sri Krishna said, as we saw before, that, O Arjuna, other than you, no one could see what you have seen. You alone have seen what you have seen. So this email pointed attention to the fact that, you know, there's a story where before the war began, so this Bhagavad Gita takes place in the Bhishma Parva. The prior parva, the prior section of the Mahabharata, is called the Udyoga Parva, which means they're getting ready for war. And in that parva, where they're getting ready for war, Sri Krishna goes to the palace to negotiate with the, everyone is there. Dhritarashtra is there, Duryodhana is there, Bhishma is there, Drona is there, all the big shots of the Kauravas. They're all there. And Sri Krishna goes there to negotiate. And there's really long negotiations take place. And Duryodhana is being really adamant. No, 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 no. Remember, they're supposed to split the kingdom in half. And remember the story says, well, instead of half the kingdom, why don't you give them five villages or five houses or a house with five rooms? I'll spare you the long story that some of you know that story well. Anyway, so Sri Krishna is trying to negotiate, and mostly with Duryodhana. Duryodhana is really adamant. I don't want to negotiate. I want the whole kingdom. We're going to go and kill the Pandavas on the battlefield and get the whole kingdom. And then Bhishma says, Duryodhana, settle down. Cool it. This is too much. And Duryodhana won't be settled down. Drona tries to cool him off. Everyone who's there tries to cool off this hot head Duryodhana, who won't be cooled off, and finally, a decision is taken, not only to reject Sri Krishna's peace proposal, but rather they decide, let's put Sri Krishna in jail. And in response to that, Sri Krishna reveals his Vishwarupa at that point. And therefore, we say, oh, then Duryodhana saw that Vishwarupa. Turns out, and I was curious about this, so I went through the Mahabharata to find the passage. It turns out that Duryodhana didn't see. And I'll show you why in just a moment. But before we see that, you know, it's not that only Arjuna saw. I mean, some of this, you already know that Sanjaya saw all this. So already that's two. So, you know, Sri Krishna says, only you have seen this, O Arjuna, but then Sanjaya is seeing all of this. It's absolutely true. And not only Sanjaya, let's see if any of you can figure this out. Someone else is also present right there who could probably see. It's very obscure. You really have to know all these weird stories. So you remember there's a weird story of Hanumanji who wanted to be present there all the way through. And in order to be present with Arjuna, what Hanuman did is he took the form on the flag attached to the chariot. So Hanuman is present on the chariot's flag, and Hanumanji is presumably watching all of this. So we got Arjuna, we got Sanjaya, we got Hanuman. Who else has seen this cosmic view? Well, remember the story when Krishna was a child, he's out there eating mud, and some gopis see this, and they run to Yashoda. Oh, your son is eating mud. And Yashoda goes and grabs her kid. Are you eating mud? Show me. Opens up the mouth, and what does she see? Was that not Vishwarupa looking into Sri Krishna's mouth? So, we now got Arjuna, we got Sanjaya, we have Hanumanji, we have Yashoda. After, there's one more. After the war is over, this takes place in the Ashwamedha Parva, one of the latter Parvas. And yeah, after the war is over, it's one of the books following the war. So Krishna returns to his kingdom, Dwaraka. And in Dwaraka, he meets this Rishi Uttanga. This story was not familiar to me. I had to go look this up. So Sri Krishna meets this Rishi Uttanga, and Sri Krishna explains, "Yes, I just got back from the battlefield." And Sri Krishna explains all these terrible things happen on the battlefield. Such tremendous loss of life on a battlefield. So Sri Krishna, in brief, narrates the events of the battlefield. And this rishi, Uttanga, gets angry. And he doesn't exactly curse Krishna, but he bawls him out, so to speak, and says, "What was wrong with you? You're right there on the battlefield. Why didn't you prevent this battle from taking place?" And so this sage got so angry at Krishna. So to calm the sage down, what does Krishna do? Revealed his cosmic form. That's one way to make the sage shut his mouth, I suppose. So, what do we have so far? We have, who has seen this cosmic form? Arjuna has seen, Sanjay has seen, Hanumanji has seen, Yashoda has seen, and now this Rishi Uttanga has seen. Then, Duryodhana. So, going back to the story I just mentioned. What actually happened? So, I gave you the story in general, and of course, it's quite a bit more complicated than what I told you, but I think what I told you is a reasonable portrayal of events. So then they're getting ready to put Krishna in jail, to imprison him, and I suppose to avoid being thrown in jail, Sri Krishna reveals his cosmic form. He does. And I'll just share with you just a tiny little bit of this. So Sri Krishna says, "Ekoham iti yat mohat manyase mam Suyodhana." He says, "Manyase, you think mohat, out of delusion, out of confusion, you think ekoham, you think I am just this one thing." This is just before the Vishwarupa, I should say. Just immediately before the Vishwarupa, Sri Krishna says, "You think this is all of me? You think I'm just this one standing here before you? Are you, due to delusion, you have come to that conclusion?" He addresses Duryodhana. And I think Sri Krishna was really angry at Duryodhana here. And because, how does he address Duryodhana? As Suyodhana. His name is not Suyodhana. His name is Duryodhana. In fact, we just talked about that prefix, Dur. So Duryodhana means the one who is difficult to defeat on a battlefield. That's the literal meaning of his name. The one who is difficult to defeat on a battlefield. What does Sri Krishna address him as? Suyodhana. The one who is easily defeated on a battlefield. It's like he's calling Duryodhana a wimp by distorting his name, Suyodhana. So Sri Krishna here is obviously upset. They're getting ready to throw him in jail. So he puts down Duryodhana by calling him Suyodhana. And he says, "You think this is it? You think it's just me, ekoham? You think I'm just this one standing in front of you?" And then for about a dozen verses, we get a very brief version of what we've just seen here. I won't take you through the verses. It's similar but very brief. Some of the same kinds of expressions are being used. You know, thousands of arms and eyes and etc. And all of the devatas, all of the gods, all of this. All of that was said in brief in about a dozen verses. But now here's the interesting part. So this is towards the end of this passage, talking about this Vishwarupa. Excuse me. So here, and this is narrated now. Nyamilayanta netrani rajanaha trasta chetasaha. It says here that that rajanaha, all of the kings, which would include Duryodhana, Bhishma, Drona. They're all called Rajana. They're all called kings, Rajanaha. All of these kings who are trasta chetasaha, whose minds are filled with fear, all of these kings whose minds are filled with fear, what about them? Nyamilayanta netrani. they closed their eyes. All of these kings. So when Sri Krishna revealed his cosmic form here, this is before the war, so in front of Duryodhana, Bhishma, Drona, Sanjaya was there, all of these people are assembled there. Sri Krishna reveals his cosmic form, and here the narration says that out of fear, those kings closed their eyes, rite, except for. So who didn't close their eyes? So they all closed their eyes, rite, except for Dronam cha. Drona did not close his eyes. Bhishmam cha. Bhishma did not close his eyes. Vidaram cha. Vidura did not close his eyes. Mahamatim, Vidura, who's very wise, did not close his eyes. Sanjayam cha. And Sanjaya did not close his eyes. These four. So, I just lost my place here. So, Drona, Bhishma, Vidura, and Sanjaya did not close their eyes. Also, some rishis, he says, and what rishis are there, I don't know. But of the kings, these four did not close their eyes. What about Duryodhana? That's right. Duryodhana had his eyes closed. So really speaking, Duryodhana didn't see, these others saw, and just to make it clear, Sri Krishna, finally, the narrator says, Pradat Tesham, Sabhagavan, Divya Chakshuhu, Janardanaha. So Janardanaha, Sri Krishna, Pradat, gave, Tesham, unto these, means unto these four, the four who didn't close their eyes. He gave them, who was giving? So Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, and gave them what? Divya Chakshus. So he gave those four Divya Chakshus, and some rishis also, he gave them this cosmic vision, so these four more could see, but apparently Duryodhana could not. So now we've vastly expanded upon the list of who saw. So who saw? We have now Arjuna, Sanjaya, Hanumanji, Yashodha, this Rishi Uttanga, and now we can add to that list, we can add Drona, Bhishma, Vidura, and Sanjaya, and some rishis. So then how shall we understand, then going back to this earlier passage, Sri Krishna says, no one has seen in this manner. And of course, Sri Krishna is not making this stuff up, so then we have to assume that Arjuna got something a little bit more, something a little special. I guess Vishwarupa could be of different magnitudes, I suppose. This is conjecture. This is a matter of interpretation. We could interpret that the cosmic form that Arjuna perceived was somehow more vast than what the others perceived. This is just inferred. This is just a matter of interpretation. We don't know. But clearly, it's not exactly true that only Arjuna saw this Vishwarupa, so we have a list of others who saw. Oddly enough, Duryodhana apparently did not see. Although we could say that the Vishwarupa was revealed in Duryodhana's presence, but according to this passage, Duryodhana had closed his eyes. Okay. So just a little bit of an aside, and that brings us to the very last verse of the chapter. Mat karma krit mat paramo, mat karma krit mat paramo, mad bhakta sangha bharjitaha, mad bhakta sangha bhar, nirvaira sarva bhuteshu, nirvaira sarva. Yasamameti Pandava, yasamameti. So, who could get that same, we said, faith filled with knowledge, ananya bhakti, that bhakti with knowledge, faith filled with knowledge. Who can get, in addition to Arjuna, who can get that knowledge? And Sri Krishna says here, mat karma krit. one who does actions, mat karma krit, for my sake. One who does actions for my sake, mat paramaha, one who is focused on me, one who is intent on me, one who is seeking me, mad bhaktaha, one who is devoted to me, one who is attached to me, one who is sangha varjitaha, one who is freed from any other attachment, free from any attachment to anything worldly, one who is nirvairaha, free from enmity, sarvabhuteshu, for all creatures, one who bears no ill will towards any other creature, yaha, one who is of that manner, saha, that one, mam eti, that one reaches me, Pandava, O Arjuna, one who is matkarmakrit, who acts for me, one who is matparamaha, focused on me, intent on me, madbhaktaha, devoted to me, sangha vivarjitaha, free from attachment, one who has that kind of bhakti. And that bhakti is exactly what's going to be taught in the next chapter. In fact, this final verse of the chapter is like an introduction to chapter 12. This is the last verse of chapter 11. Do you know how on these serial shows that they show on TV, where they'll end the program with scenes from the next episode? So you get that sneak preview, a few scenes from the next. That's exactly what this verse is. This verse is giving you some of the teachings that we're going to find in the next chapter. Since we're going to see those teachings in the next chapter, we'll wait until next class and we'll see all of these teachings in detail. But basically, this verse then is introducing the next chapter, how to cultivate that bhakti, that ananya bhakti. We'll see that in the next class. Okay, we have a few things to finish this class with. One is the closing prayer. Listen and repeat. Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat, Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, Iti Srimad Bhagavad Upanishad Su, Brahma Vidyayam, Brahma Yoga Shastre, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Shri Krishna Vishwarupa Darshana Yogo Nama, Vishwarupana Darshana Yogo Nama, Ekadashodhyayaha, Ekadashodhyayaha. So this closing prayer we've seen at the end of each chapter, Om Tat Sat, whatever has been taught, that is the truth, iti, thus, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, in this blessed Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad Su, which contains the wisdom of the Upanishads, Brahma Vidyayam, amongst these teachings of Brahma Vidya, knowledge of truth, Yoga Shastre, amongst these teachings of yoga, spiritual practice, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, in the midst of this dialogue between Shri Krishna and Arjuna, this is the Ekadashaha Adhyayaha, this is the 11th chapter, which is Vishwarupa Darshana Nama. The name of this chapter is Vishwarupa Darshana. All right. And to conclude today's class, it would be nice to, as we've been doing, to get the big picture, the big overview, just by chanting these English verses. So this is the abbreviated English version that we can chant with the same meter. First verse, you can listen and repeat, and then we can chant together, and we'll just very quickly get the overview of the chapter. Arjuna said, to indulge me you have revealed, to indulge me you have the highest secret of yourself, the highest secret. And by these words you have now said, and by these words you have, my confusion has been removed, my confusion. Together. Now, if you think it possible for me to see your godly form, O Lord, then unto me reveal your own true everlasting self, the blessed Lord said, O Arjuna, behold my forms in the hundreds and thousands yet multifarious heavenly, of all colors and of all shapes. Behold now the entire world, animate and inanimate, and all else that you wish to see, here within this body of mine. But to see me you have no power, your own eyesight is limited. I grant you a vision divine. Now behold my majestic might. Sanjaya said, O King, after he spoke these words, Sri Krishna, Lord of yogic power, revealed himself to Arjuna, showing his cosmic form supreme. If in the sky 1,000 suns were to rise simultaneously, such would be like the blazing light of the Lord's great magnificence. Arjuna, whose hair stood on end, by amazement was overcome. He bowed his head in reverence and prayerfully addressed the Lord. Arjuna said, O Lord of all universal form, thy immense vastness I behold, countless arms, eyes, bellies, and mouths, glaring so bright it hurts my eyes. I see no start, middle, or end. The sun and moon are thy two eyes. Thy flaming mouths devour the worlds, destroying them with scorching heat. From the heavens down to the earth, thy expanse fills the space between. Seeing this dreadful form of thine, all worlds tremble, and so do I. Seeing thy mouths with gaping teeth, blazing like world-destroying fire, I feel bewildered, terrified. O Lord, show mercy unto me. Into thy mouths, Dhritarashtra's sons, enter along with throngs of kings, Bhishma, Drona, and Karna too, even our own great warrior chiefs. They quickly race into thy mouths, gaping with ghastly, dreadful teeth. Some men whose heads are crushed remain, sticking out caught between thy teeth, like rivers flowing to the sea, or like moths drawn to glowing fire. So to these most courageous men, rush to enter thy flaming mouths. Tell me, who art thou, dreadful one? Salutations, have mercy, Lord. I want to comprehend thy truth, but thy ways I don't understand. The blessed Lord said, I am time destroyer of worlds. I came to decimate these men, all these warriors standing opposed. Even without you they shall die. Therefore stand up, be valorous. Conquer these foes, dominion gain. I have already slain them all. You are merely an instrument. Sanjaya said, having thus heard Lord Krishna's words, Arjuna, trembling with fright, folded his hands and bowed again. Then he spoke, stammering and all. Arjuna said, Thou art primal, eternal God, in whom the universe abides, supreme abode, knower and known. Thou pervades the eternal world. Salutations, salutations, in the thousands, homage to thee. Infinite power, measureless might, Thou art total, embracing all. Brashly I took thee as a friend, behaving disrespectfully, ignorant of thy majesty. For that I beg pardon of thee, with my prostrations bowing low. Thy indulgence I beg of thee, please do be merciful, O Lord, like a father or like a friend. My mind reels from terror and fright, shaken by this fantastic sight. I wish to see thee as before. Please return to thy prior form. The blessed Lord said, being pleased with you, I have shown through my own power this form supreme, brilliant, vast, limitless, foremost, but for you never seen before. Do not tremble, be not confused, seeing my most terrible form. Be of cheer again, free from fear. Behold now my form as it was. Sanjaya said, Lord Krishna, after speaking thus, reappeared in his prior form. Having assumed a pleasant guise, he comforted the frightened one. Arjuna said, O Krishna, seeing once again this pleasing human form of yours, my composure has now returned. Restored to normal is my mind. The blessed Lord said, this form which you have now beheld is very rare to see indeed. To behold it, even the gods are all yearning eternally, not by study or discipline, nor charity or sacrifice, can I ever be thus perceived in the way you have now beheld. But through devotion firm and strong, can I in my reality be discovered just as I am, and be attained, O Arjuna. And there we have chapter 11. It's been quite a wonderful study, very dramatic. When we meet next week, we'll continue now with chapter 12, Bhakti Yoga. The slides for the chapter will be available on our website maybe a day or two before class. So if you'd like to get the slides, you can do so. Some quick announcements. Tomorrow, Sunday, we have our program for teenagers at 11 o'clock. We also have the Gita at Work study group at 11 o'clock. Tomorrow at 5 p.m. is our weekly mindful awareness meditation, 5 p.m. At 6:15, question and answer time, satsang. I'll take your questions. The library will be open after class. We'll end with our prayers.